reunited and it feels so good. Yes, it's the Rule of Threes podcast. We're in the same room again.
Yeah, and we're now a musical podcast. That's check right. us out on
yeah,
on
we're iTunes not talking about basketball anymore. Is that cool?
Going to see School of Rock this weekend.
That's right. I'm seeing School of Rock at the Pantages.
Ooh.
Sorry, just changing a little volume. There we okay. go.
Yeah, we're
now
better.
Today we're gonna do guess. Even seeing the front of Casey's jersey, I can't guess the back of it.
Yeah.
This is a different sport.
It's a different sport. It's very obscure and also very fun that I got this for $10 at a Lids in San Ysidro.
Okay, this is the I want to say the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's correct.
And I'm assuming it's a quarterback.
It is
seven.
Yes,
it is a like quarterback. Todd Blackledge or
ooh,
something.
Ooh, that's a deep cut. No, this guy used to back up both Matt Leinart. He used to back up Tom Brady.
Oh,
And then he was he had 1 year where Tom Brady got hit by Bernard Pollard in the knee and had to take the whole year off for recovery from a knee injury.
Whoa!
And then this guy led the Patriots to I believe it was a 10-6 record, and I think they still missed the playoffs. It was that 1 year that they weren't
so
able to.
So this is not Drew Bledsoe.
It's not Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe was before Tom
before
Brady.
Before Tom Brady. And so this was
mid-reign.
Mid-reign. I believe it was 2008, but I can't be specifically sure. And this guy was a real fortress for people. His last name is a synonym for fortress.
Is it like something Castle?
Yes.
Matt Castle?
Yes, it is Matt
Look
Castle.
Look at that. I don't follow football at all.
There you go. I mean,
C-A-S-S-E-L.
That is correct, yeah. He's a laughingstock in the NFL for being a career backup. He never started a game in college.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was drafted into the NFL because he was just like the good backup to Matt Leinart.
NFL draft is so weird.
It's so weird.
But let's screw football.
Fuck football.
I just want to give you some observations about the games that we missed. Obviously, pretty much games 3 and 4 in both series did not go the way that I wanted them to.
No.
Well, game 3 in the Western Conference.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's some thoughts, because I was in Orlando. I missed most of the games.
Oh, you just caught up a little
bit. I was
later.
Either like listening on the radio, which is always a fun thing. I actually don't mind listening on the radio.
I also like listening. I listened to most of the game yesterday on the radio.
Do you ever put on the radio and watch TV at the same time?
No. If I was going to do that, I would just mute the TV.
Ah, okay.
Right.
So listen on the radio. I was also doing the thing where you're just on Yahoo. Like I was on the plane 2 nights ago,
uh-huh.
refreshing through JetBlue Wi-Fi.
Oh yeah,
the Golden State game.
That's now. Oh man, that is. Have you ever tried to like find the feed for a radio game through the Wi-Fi on a?
No.
Oh my God. Game six of the 2015 finals. I was on my way back from New Orleans, and. Our flight was during game six and I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do, how I'm going to watch this game. I listened to the game through the ESPN radio. No, sorry. Through the iHeart radio app, finding an ESPN station that didn't have the game blacked out on the iHeart radio. It was like Green Bay's ESPN radio. And I listened to the whole game on the airplane and I was so happy.
Blackout restrictions piss me off.
They're
so, much.
So bad.
Cause I paid for league pass this year.
I mean, so you can watch all of your favorite teams that are not Los Angeles.
Yeah, exactly. But then there were even, I don't even like the blackout restrictions during the playoffs when it's like, this is on TNT or whatever.
Yeah.
Just show me the TNT broadcast. You know, like, doesn't TNT still make, like, they're selling advertising?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are rules about what advertising can and cannot be played on League Pass.
Like maybe.
When you buy an ad package, you know exactly where that ad is going to be shown.
I will say my current favorite ad is the ESPN.
Giannis?
No, the one that's like, there's an ad right now. When you stream ESPN, and it's just the ESPN logo that's like, we'll be right back.
Your program is in a commercial.
Yeah.
My favorite ad right now that's on is the Giannis Antetokounmpo This Is SportsCenter ad.
What is that one? I think
so,
I've seen
it. Giannis is working at his desk at SportsCenter because every athlete has a desk at SportsCenter. Two ESPN anchors come through and throw a plate down on the ground and say, "Opa!"
Yeah.
And Giannis is like, you know, we don't do that. And then they look at him, they're like, oh, we're sorry. And then somebody else comes through and throws another plate down.
That's right.
And everybody's just shaking their head. Those ads for me are the pinnacle of like funny in advertising.
Well, and they're also representative of like the best thing about ESPN when those started, like the most fun self of ESPN.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, we'll say most of those commercials pay very little if you're in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was in at least one ESPN promo like years ago. And what's weird is like, if you're in a house promo where it's like, we're promoting our own channel.
Yeah.
You just get paid for the day. You don't get any residuals.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. It's weird. The rules about like what residuals you get paid for which commercial.
Ooh.
But impressions about the games, I will just say that I checked in for part of the Cavs game last night.
Okay.
And here are just some weird thoughts that I had, and we can talk about more specifics later. First of all, I now find myself in the position of, I was actually rooting for LeBron and the Cavs during that game in the second quarter.
You're full of surprises.
Because first, the part that I watched was a Lakers resurgence of Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance.
Hey,
all over the court, getting their hands on all kinds of 50-50 balls. And like, I was like, yeah, these I like these guys.
Hey, Jordan Clarkson, he played 15 minutes and he put up 10 shots.
Yeah.
Because Jordan Clarkson is the star of his own show.
Well, he had a little flurry where he made like 2 threes in a row.
And then
I didn't see the rest. I assume he didn't play that well.
Oh, it was pretty real.
But then I was listening to the rest of the game on the radio, and I still just think that the Eastern Conference sucks. Because while I was watching it and while I was listening to it, I was just like, this is the ugliest basketball I have seen.
It's tough.
It's just so like, I don't care about like, it seems like no one can get around. I mean, maybe it's great defenses, but like, there's not much fun action going on.
Yeah. And I mean, it feels like the fun action that they have is not ever because of good plays. It's because of the bad plays. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like a lot of times when you're watching the Warriors or the Rockets play, when something good happens most of the time, and I'm not talking about game four because game four was kind of a nightmare.
Yes.
It feels like good things are happening because they're doing good things. Mm-hmm. And like the other team is trying as hard as they can and trying to be good and then just not being able to be that good.
Yeah.
It's a race to the top. Whereas in the East, it feels like it's a race to the bottom.
And I don't think that it's true. If you go back and watch Eastern Conference semifinals and finals from the 80s and 90s, I think there was good basketball happening in those series.
Okay.
That in a way, like I know that the defenses are more sophisticated now, but I also feel like that there were more offensively skilled players in the game. I don't know. Like, I just find it boring to watch these games.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's specifically just,
you got Vinny the microwave.
Like, oh boy.
I'm sure he's a great defender.
I think mostly these specific games, we're just talking about the way that the Celtics play versus the way the Cavs play on the road. Like, both of these teams are such bad road teams right now.
Yeah.
That it feels like the games aren't ever going to be close because they don't exist outside of their home buildings. And like, it's very, very tough to say that the Cavs are going to be able to win game seven because, well, they look like shit.
Yeah.
They look like absolute shit when they play in Boston. And I mean, they looked like shit when they played in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
Like they look
great in
shit.
Toronto.
It looks really good in Toronto. leave it to my boys in the white and red or the black and gold to
Canadian friendliness.
Oh man.
They just tamp down their home court advantage.
It's tough. Cause like we're the only player on the team from Canada is, I can't remember if there's an actual Raptor from Canada. Anymore. Oh. Corey Joseph is from Canada, but he's not on the Raptors anymore.
Anthony Wiggins.
Yeah, and he's definitely going to be on the Raptors.
I wonder if the Raptors are watching this series just being like, man, we could have.
Oh, man, if only we hadn't lost four straight games to a team that rocked us out of our own building.
Well, because I do feel like, I mean, neither of these teams looks like a world beater.
No,
at the moment.
They don't. And like, here's when they do look like a world beater, it's not because they look like a world beater, but because the other team is playing so badly.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Cleveland looked so good in games 3 and 4, mm-hmm. right? They looked amazing. They were doing all the things on defense that, like, felt like they were giving a shit. And,
yeah.
LeBron was making plays that were, like, Of course he should do that because he's just dominating people. It was like there's a time in game 4 when he just went and drove to the basket like 3 or 4 times in a row, just put his shoulder down, got that mismatch, put his shoulder down and made stuff happen. And it just isn't, it doesn't happen when they're on the road in the same way this series. And I'm so frustrated watching that Eastern Conference series.
I was watching the parts. Like when there was one, I forget one sequence where it was just like neither team could just score. It was, I think that happened multiple times in that game. And I was just thinking, I feel like these teams, I don't even really know what their offensive identities are.
Yeah.
I don't know what their philosophy is from game to game. Whereas like, I think game 4 of the Warriors Rockets, we can get to in a second, but basically I feel like that game was the Warriors kind of lost their identity a little bit. But I know what the Warriors' identity is, and I know what the Rockets' identity is.
Yeah.
And so then it's a question of which of these philosophies is going to win. Whereas the Cavs and the Celtics, I feel like they're just scrounging up points just however they can. Like, just go, somebody please make a basket.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, like, they try to, you know, get the perfect switch. They try to get the perfect switch to, like, have a defensive mismatch. And, like, the Cavs took advantage of Terry Rozier in games 3 and 4, right? Completely. And then they weren't able to do that anymore in game 5.
Yeah.
Right? And here's the thing. The Celtics, they won. What did they shoot for the game?
Like 36%
or 36%. And they won that game by 13.
Yeah, I know.
And it's not because they held the Cavs to, you know, 26% shooting.
Right. They also shot like 30.
No, the Cavs shot like 44%.
Oh, did they?
Right? The Cavs turned the ball over a ton, didn't get to the line.
LeBron averaging listless. Like 5.5 turnovers per game.
It was so tough. I mean, it was just so tough to watch or listen to. I mean, just like hearing, you know, I listened to a lot of the third quarter in the car, and I was just like, it just felt sad. I was just bummed out.
Well, when I was watching the game in the first half, I thought it was very, LeBron was not able to get to the rim in a way that he wanted to. Mm-hmm. And then I felt when he was offloading passes, a lot of times it feels like they don't even know where they don't know where the other players tend to like to be on offense. Yeah. So everyone's getting these like bailout passes. That's like, gah, here you go. Oh, and then Kevin Love is like shooting a running in motion 3-pointer. Like very, even Korver, who's a like historically great 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll get 3-point looks that are, feel very forced, or they feel farther than he wants to take them.
And yeah. Like, and you can credit the Celtics for doing that. I mean, they're staying on him when they have the chance.
They are, but
at home,
but they don't feel the motions that the other 4 players go on around LeBron feel desperate and not like part of a system sometimes. Yeah. It feels like they're just kind of like, wait, this part's too crowded, I'm going to run over here. And then they get a pass with like 4 seconds left. It's just very discombobulated.
Yeah. Yes. And I don't know. I mean, it feels like,
if the road performances, you know, keep going, like there's no evidence to think that the Celtics will play well on the road.
No,
in Cleveland.
Like, I don't think game 6 is going to go in their favor, because what have they brought to the table on the road this postseason?
Yeah,
one,
the only thing you could
lucky win in Philadelphia.
The only thing you could say is that Rozier shot horribly in this game.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll
shoot better in game 6. Just
out of randomness?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, another random thing that occurred to me.
Okay.
I had a 90-second period of like revelation and then not non-revelation.
Okay.
Because I saw a close-up of Jeff Green during the game.
Yeah.
I said, he looks really familiar. And who do you think I said that he looks like? Keep in mind that I think Robert Horry looks like Will Smith, which I think is a fair comparison. And I think...
okay. All right. I'm trying to think who you would say.
Another basketball player.
Ooh.
From our favorite team.
He looked like...
Noted virgin.
Oh, you're saying he looked like A.C. Green?
He does look like A.C. Green. And for a moment, I was like, wait a minute. is Jeff Green AC Green's son.
The timeline for the virginity to fatherhood does not line up in the AC Green Jeff Green.
Also, neither does the play style.
No. I mean, but you know, who says you got to play like your daddy? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, lots of people assume you do, and I mean, you look at
Kobe Bean doesn't play like
John Stockton, David Stockton. You know, they're both short and white, but one is good and one is not good.
They both went to Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So I challenge listeners, Google AC Green and Jeff Green. I believe they look like they could be related, and they're not. Okay. So for a moment I was like, you know, like other revelations that you have in life, like, for example, noted Mexican food writer, and he's not Mexican, but he writes about Mexican cuisine, has had shows on Food Network about Mexican cuisine, Rick Bayless.
Okay. Yeah.
Who has a very specific way of talking and a weird like face.
Yeah.
Is Skip Bayless's brother, which I never knew until like a couple years ago.
That's so funny.
And once you know that, it's like, oh, I can see how they're brothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
One is beloved and one is not.
Yeah.
And the other one is, Shirley MacLaine and Warren Beatty.
Oh.
Which a lot of people don't know.
I thought you were going to say Shirley MacLaine and John MacLaine from Die
yes,
Hard.
Yes, her brother.
Her brother is the fictional character LA from Die Hard.
For Christmas.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought for a second that Jeff Green was AC Green's son.
And Draymond Green's cousin.
That's right. There's a lot of good Greens.
And the Green Giant from Vegetables.
Mm-hmm. And the Green Mile.
Yeah, and the Green Mile.
You could put a decent green team together.
Yeah, I mean they've
done those name teams.
Kevin Pelton wrote a couple of articles about first name teams. I wonder if he's done them for last name teams.
I think I've read ones about greens and
Antetokounmpos.
Yep. I think I've read greens. I think there's a James team that you could do.
Probably a James team. Maybe a Jordan team.
There's definitely a Jones team.
Jones, yeah.
A Jordan?
Smith.
Smith for sure.
Yeah. Joe Smith, famed CBA.
Who is the guy?
Manipulator.
Who is the white guy that was like?
Wally Szczerbiak.
You could do a white guy bruiser team, which is not really Wally Szczerbiak, but like Harpering.
Yeah, all the white guys in the NBA look alike.
But like block-headed. Like
Ostertag.
Block-headed white
John
guys.
John Konkak.
In the history of the NBA, the only player that I've ever thought was attractive for my type, which you guys, I have a specific type, Big Country.
Big Country, Bryant Reeves.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not a great player.
Hey, you know what?
Drafted high, I think.
He and Jason Williams took that Vancouver Grizzlies team.
Oh, the other one was Khalid El-Amin.
Khalid El-Amin. Oh, okay.
But basically, basketball doesn't lend itself to the kind of guys I like. let's talk about, before we go to Warriors, Rockets, let's talk about all NBA teams.
Let's talk about the all NBA teams. Have you gotten a chance to look at them yet?
I did. Which one do you think is the most surprising in the first team?
I think to me, the most surprising is Damian Lillard.
Same.
That's not to say he doesn't deserve
it. Yes. I was just surprised.
I didn't think that, that was going to happen.
I was surprised that this is all journalists, right?
Yes. Yeah,
there's media. No player
voting for all NBA.
Okay. So I was surprised that, in a way, it's a diss on Westbrook.
Yes.
Because Westbrook got, most Westbrook votes were for second team.
Okay.
So, you know, in a year where, again, he averaged a triple-double, it's interesting to say, like, you can average a triple-double and not be, like, in the top five.
It's so funny. His triple-double this season felt so much worse than last season's triple-double. And you know why? It's because he actually had more games with a triple-double last season than he did this season by a factor of like 1.5 or 2.
So this was
like
just like he was peaking in certain categories, but not all in the same night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like, I think Draymond's going to end up being close to a triple-double for the playoffs, but he hasn't actually had that many triple-doubles.
No, not that many. He said like three, I think, something like that. I was surprised to see him there. Two unanimous players on the first
LeBron
team.
LeBron and Harden.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Is how often do we have unanimous selections?
I feel like you get one-ish a year. One. There are definitely years where there are none, but
Is Anthony Davis? He's on first team.
He is first team.
I would say I don't know. What's the reasoning if you're a person that doesn't vote Anthony Davis or I would say Kevin Durant seemed obvious first team? Because who's better than those two at their position?
I mean, you know, you talk about the two people who came in behind them. You know, you talk about Embiid and Antetokounmpo.
I thought you were going to say
LaMarcus Aldridge. No, I don't think I would vote LaMarcus first team over
I would definitely would not put Embiid over Anthony Davis. I think you could argue.
Once you take the defensive side of the court into account, Embiid is... I mean, he's up there. It's so similar.
What if we take games played into account?
That's true. But Embiid played like 60 games this year, right?
Yeah. By the way, side note, I love how people are all like, LeBron played 82 games this year. Great. First time in his whole career he's ever done it.
Yeah. I mean,
he's so tired.
At 34, right? He's like 34.
Yeah.
He's earned those minutes.
Right, but he has never played a full season in the league.
A full season. Yeah, he's missed a game or two.
Yes, so he's played a lot of playoff games.
And 75. I would say like a 70 game season is a full season. If you miss 12 games, I'm going to say that's a full season. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, bro, you got to start all 82 games. Otherwise, you barely played.
Well, I don't think that either, but I just don't think it's like impressive to play 82 games in the season once. When you look at the people he's compared against, played a lot more full seasons than him.
Okay. Like full seasons every minute, every game. No, it's like,
we could look at minutes.
You look at minutes played.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing. And LeBron is always, always up there with, you know, Luol Deng and anybody else who's playing small Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah. Well, anyone who somehow Tom Thibodeau players play 50 minutes in a 48 minute game.
Yeah, it's hard, but
he finds a way.
Yeah.
He has them running plays during timeouts.
Yeah.
Full speed.
We're renaming the podcast the Tom Thibodeau Haters Podcast. If you want in on this club, you got to email us at Tom Thibodeau's Haters Cast.
He calls a timeout. The coaches meet and he has the players run full court scrimmage for the 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's important. You know, the halftime show, sometimes they'll have the kids come out and play the game on the courts.
Yes.
He actually leaves his players in to play against the kids.
Right.
So they don't get cold in the locker room.
Well, and then he ices those kids on the pick and rolls.
Yeah, it's important. And because if you don't send those kids out, they're going to start making those layups and you can't have Cat guarding
you send that kid baseline, he's going to get blocked at the rim.
It's important.
You can't let him get in the middle.
No.
LeBron actually said a thing in the press conference last night that was like, did you watch the press conference?
I didn't, no.
By the way,
he had a cool sweater on.
I always watch Draymond's and I always watch Steve Kerr's. Those are always interesting.
Yeah.
I hardly ever watch anybody else's. But LeBron said, during his thing was like, they were like, what was with the turnovers? And then he reviewed all six turnovers as if that's a basketball genius thing. It's like, there was funny, the score tweeted out like, LeBron demonstrates his basketball IQ by remembering all of it. It's like, you know what would show better basketball IQ?
not having those turnovers.
But he said, I got the ball and then I'm trying to figure out what word he said. He said, they pated me. They pated the, and it sounded like he said P-A-T-E. And he was like, oh, that's a term, that's jargon for they doubled from the baseline. And I just want to find out what that word is.
Yeah.
That's the new ice.
We'll have to check it out. I do want to talk about memory for a second.
Yes. Right?
I'm shit at memory when it comes to when I'm performing or doing something and then remembering what happened.
Uh-huh.
Like, something that I will never be able to do is remember everything that happened in an improv set I've done.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, directly after the set, I'm just like, I just went blank. Uh-huh. How's your memory?
You
could do a LeBron thing.
Yeah,
like why you made choices and
absolutely. I could definitely do a, the equivalent of last night's game would be like, you made 5 bad moves during that improv show. Can you explain what they were?
Man, it was tough. I was trying to make a pop culture reference, but my scene partner didn't understand it, so I needed to figure out a way to make that make sense in the scene without going. It was too much of a reach.
That's I can remember one. Stuff, especially initiations in the scene. So yeah. I can say like, that scene went off the rails because you came out first and you were miming something that I thought was a washer and dryer.
And you were saying it was a printing machine for Gutenberg's printing press.
I'm pretty good for remembering that stuff. I mean, and I also will remember. I mean, I think this is natural. Like, you remember specific moments from shows in the past.
Yeah.
I do have the experience of people coming up and saying like, "Oh, I saw you in this show," and this is always like, it's always like this. It's like, and you were playing like, you were like this talking lizard, and I'm just like, sounds like something we would have done.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we here at the Rule of Threes podcast are, you know, people who stand behind what we believe. So don't you worry. After a show sometime, I'm going to put you through a post-show press
walk
conference.
Walk up with a mic and be like, it's harder to be like, you made five mistakes. What were they? Because I'd be like, they're not on a stat sheet for me to like look at exactly.
Yeah, but they're in your mind. You got that stat sheet in your mind.
Well, I will say this is the difference between comedy and sports is many of those moments I'd be like, that was a good move. and the rest of the team and the audience sometimes are like, no, it wasn't.
Nope. I did that in a show where we were talking about somebody hated animals.
Uh-huh.
And I came out and I said, wipe out. And I mimed playing the drums and they didn't know what I was. And I was I don't want to in character as animal say that I am animal. But, you know, I kind of had to. And it was.
I probably wouldn't have gotten that.
Yeah.
Because I would have gotten that it was Wipeout.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't. I don't have enough Muppets.
Ah, the Muppets.
To get it.
It's tough.
Doesn't he say stuff, though?
Me, Wipeout.
Then I would have gotten it.
Wipeout! Wipeout! Wipeout!
Did you do that part?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Oh, I would have gotten that.
Yeah.
The rest of the All-NBA teams, first team looks fine.
Yeah.
Second team, you know what? Good for LaMarcus.
Yeah, I mean, he was awesome this season for the Spurs.
And he... I mean, that is, I think there are good cases to be made that it's not always shuffling pieces. It's not always like, this is all this guy gives and we need to get rid of him or get someone new. Because there was probably a point last year when LaMarcus wanted to leave.
Yeah.
And probably a point where, well, I mean, there probably wasn't a point. It seemed like Pop was very much like, I need to reach out to you and like bring you back into the fold. Yeah, but like, definitely. But that's an argument of like, sometimes it is the fit and the context or how we're using you. Now, I could make a better case for this if the Raptors had made it further in the playoffs because they didn't.
Hey.
But they are a case too of also of like, we're not really changing personnel. We can do this differently. And I do think that is like a worthy idea.
Yeah. The year over year improvement with the same core of people. You know, I mean, it's the same thing that Trust the Process is all about. You know, it's trying to get those people in there to set that baseline and then build from, you know, what's they're assuming is going to be a block a little bit higher than just like,
yes,
we're going to bring in some people.
Yeah. And that's like, so to that point, I'm like, I think that's really great for him. I don't know what, I'm assuming he was not on a All-NBA team last year.
I feel like Lowry and DeRozan hit.
Oh, I'm talking about LaMarcus.
Oh, LaMarcus. I can't remember.
But he definitely was. This seems higher than he was.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And I'm sure he was probably on some All-NBA teams like.
Oh, yeah. He was on plenty when he was in Portland. Yeah.
You know. So good for him.
Yeah.
Who's the rest of that second team?
Giannis, Embiid.
Giannis, who will
Westbrook,
probably be a,
DeRozan.
Giannis is probably a first teamer as soon as next year. You don't think so?
Is he going to be better than LeBron and Durant next year?
How position limited are these?
Two forwards, two guards, and one center.
So he's going in as a
forward.
Oh, it's weird because like he's a weird position.
Yeah.
Because he essentially does a bunch of guard stuff.
Yeah, free Darko. Positions are meaningless.
Yeah. So you're saying he goes as a forward?
Yeah, and he got voted in as a forward.
Okay.
On the ballot.
I think there will be some point in the future when he will replace LeBron.
Yeah.
On the first team. Yeah.
It also depends on when LeBron retires. Or
well, it depends. No, I think there will be a time when LeBron is playing and doesn't get first team.
Okay.
It also depends on where LeBron goes next year.
Yeah, I mean, if he goes to Europe and plays for Panathinaikos, then he's not going to be on any All-NBA.
That's right. If he goes and plays for the Shanghai Sharks.
Yeah. If he takes over for LaMelo and LiAngelo Lithuania.
Lithuania. Yeah. For his marketing, it would be an incredible thing if he played like a short season in China.
That'd be pretty cool. And then he comes back and plays in the NBA.
Like it would like what it would do to his merchandise sales. Yeah. I mean, it would like,
out of control. LeBron, you got to listen to us. Okay.
He wanted to be, is he a billionaire? Do you think? He wanted to be one.
I don't think he is yet, but I don't think that he's, I think he's on his way.
I think if you wanted to be a billionaire, go play like a 10 to 15 game season where you play in every major city in China for like the worst team in the league.
Okay.
And I think that's a significant chunk towards getting to be a billionaire.
That'd be pretty wild as a marketing move because, you know, the season ends before the NBA season ends and he could come back and join up with the Lakers for their playoff run after they've had the time to develop all of their great players fit with Paul George. And then he just takes Paul George and Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball. And we signed Julius Randle again because...
And we get Clarkson and Nance back.
And then Kobe comes out of retirement and Magic Johnson starts playing again as GM, president, coach.
That's right.
Player. Towel boy.
And then Jerry West continues to DJ for LA Clippers games.
Oh man. Tell you what, I thought it was good that they sent Jerry West to the draft lottery because now he's been there with four teams. The Lakers, the Grizzlies.
Did he go with the Warriors?
I don't know if he went with the Warriors. He might have come after they were already out of the, you know what, I think he was
Clippers.
And the Clippers, yeah, so now now Jerry West has spread his logo all over the Western Conference.
So do we go over all the second team?
Second team has been overed. We didn't talk about Embiid on the second team. Being on the second team instead of the first team cost Joel Embiid a significant amount of money.
Oh,
he had a an accelerator in his contract that would have put him much higher on the salary cap and in his pockets if he would have made first team all NBA. So
yeah, that'll be interesting to me, him and Davis. I'm assuming Davis was the center.
Davis was the center.
So yeah. And then third team.
Third team. Coming hot with some Stephen Curry.
Interesting here, because how many games did he play?
Steph played like 55.
How many games did Chris Paul play?
50.
Okay. That was interesting. I don't know. I wonder if when the last time Chris Paul wasn't on one of these lists.
Yeah. I don't know. He was one of the first ones off.
Uh-huh.
Then Oladipo, Victor.
Good for him.
Good for Victor Oladipo. I mean, he's on there. Then Jimmy Butler.
Uh-huh.
Karl Anthony Towns.
Uh-huh.
And then...
the player that Oladipo was traded for.
Paul George.
Future Laker Paul
future
George.
Future Laker Paul George. And we're very happy. Future Laker Paul George. Future Laker DeMarcus Cousins. Future Laker Kent Bazemore. Past Laker Kent Bazemore.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're ready to bring the All-Star team back together. As many of these players as
How
we
do you
need.
Feel about Karl Anthony Towns on this list? I wonder who...
He's so good, and it was just a real bummer that he disappeared in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But he had a great season.
Do they make... the voting available to see who just missed this list?
Yes.
Who just missed it?
It was Chris Paul. And then I think...
Karl Anthony Towns is in as a...
Center.
Center.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess. It's the center positions are always like... the fourth one is... Who would the fourth one... Who do we think the fourth one is? The fourth best center in the... is not Hassan Whiteside.
I mean, I'll tell you who
could,
I think.
It could have been Hassan Whiteside based on regular season voting.
I think the fourth best center is probably Al Horford.
Oh, yeah.
And then fifth best is Steven Adams. But I got my, Steven Adams.
I'll keep ruminating about this. Oh, Capella?
Capella is pretty good. I don't know if I'd put him over Steven Adams. Okay, so Chris Paul, Rudy Gobert, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons.
Gobert would be in as a center, right?
Yeah. So it looks like Gobert was the guy who would have been the next center.
Interesting. If you had a team,
mm-hmm.
would you start, you had a draft either Gobert or Karl Anthony, who would you pick?
Towns.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd pick Towns.
Yeah.
He's younger, and I think he's better. But
they're just so different. Like, Karl Anthony Towns has not shown himself to be terrific.
No.
Defensively.
No. The funny thing, Paul George, this is his fourth All-NBA team.
Uh-huh.
All four have been third team.
Hmm.
Paul George and Chris Paul got the same number of votes. So they got the same number of...
It's just a positional...
54, yeah. So positionally, Chris Paul comes in behind Victor Oladipo. Oladipo had 105 points and Chris Paul had 54.
I mean, again, this goes to the thing of, you know... Oladipo sort of on an island by himself.
Yeah.
And sort of wrenching a team that everybody probably thought was a lottery team.
Yeah.
Up into a great, you know, position, but also, I mean, they probably would have voted by then, but that round one series was really good.
Stephen Curry, the closest race here was the race between Stephen Curry and DeMar DeRozan.
Oh. Because DeMar was second
team. DeMar was second team, and Curry was third team. So
I have a feeling that's just games played for Curry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just games played, but it's also the fact that they both got 2 first team votes. They both got 39 second team votes, and DeMar got 38 third team votes, and Steph Curry got 37 third team votes. So it was 165 points to 164 points.
So somebody from like the Gainesville Courier.
Yeah.
If they just changed their vote.
Yeah.
I think that, I mean, if he plays a, I mean, he's 2-time MVP. So like if he plays a full season at his, is he Curry? Didn't he win to it?
I thought he won 1, but he might have won 2.
Why do I think he won 2?
I think he could have won 2.
Durant's won 1.
Yeah, it was the year before they won that he won.
Look that up while I talk about. So, and this is good. We're gonna talk about Rockets Warriors. I am again. I'm just sort of like a bandwagon second team Warriors fan. Didn't get to see the game at all. Was refreshing on the plane. Couldn't believe that they only scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. Because to me, I'm like, I'm glad I didn't watch that fourth quarter because that probably would have really annoyed me. He did win 2.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
only
amazing.
Only one was unanimous.
Oh, but like that's pretty incredible for a guy his size to win 2. Yeah. So I glad I didn't watch that 12-point fourth quarter. And I on the plane, I was like, this cannot be a quarter where they are playing like themselves and only scoring 12 points.
I watched it.
Yeah.
It was miserable. and so here's the thing. That game was, it was such an interesting game from a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
That was such a mess, on the individual play level. Mm-hmm. The first quarter was all Golden State. Second quarter was all Houston. Third was all Golden State. Fourth was all Houston. And Houston got up in the Warriors, and it got up in their heads. That's the thing that really hit. In that fourth quarter, when they couldn't get anything to work, it felt like Houston was just in their heads about like making sure that their switches were disruptive, making sure their defense was there in their face at all times, and just like it felt like nothing that the Warriors wanted to do was going to work. They stopped them stylistically in a way that was pretty impressive, but also not that fun to watch.
How many plays in the fourth quarter were like, so was it like Golden State tries to run their play and ends up in ISO, or how many plays were like one pass and then 18 seconds of ISO?
It was so much of like, you know, the what they tried to do to try to like get somebody the ball up at the top of the key, mm-hmm. to like start holding it for the rest of their offense to work. They would do that. All of the stuff that was happening with cuts and everything wasn't working. They were being guarded. Passes were hard to make. Heck, even forward progress on dribbling was hard to make. And then they would abort and go to either Curry or Durant for an ISO. And Durant threw up some wicked bad shots, which was impressive from a standpoint of like, wow, how are they making the Warriors do this? And it was smart, hard defense. And it was hard to watch the Warriors play that badly.
Yeah.
And I think that they know that they can't do that again. And I'm excited to see tonight what happens.
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, because I don't want to see the Rockets in the finals.
I don't know. At this point, I'm happy with whatever happens, because I don't see any way that either of the Eastern Conference teams win.
Yeah, so we're sort of watching the best series in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, impressive to wrench another team into your, like, out of their identity.
Yes.
Is it repeatable 2 more times, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that the Warriors are going to come out strong tonight. Yeah. And we'll see if the Rockets can take a punch, because it felt to me like the Warriors were like, okay, we just have to look at this and see how to get through it, and then come up with a plan and then do it. And will the Rockets be able to like counter that before seeing what the Warriors counter is?
Like, can the Rockets counter it without giving up a game?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these series seem to be like, you know, like, In NBA playoffs history, a lot of it has been like, we're putting Scottie Pippen on whoever he got. Did you put him on Iverson? Who did he guard? He guarded a point guard and like shut down.
Payton?
It might have been Payton. But it was like that adjustment, the team can't adjust to it in the game. They have to like lose.
Isaiah Thomas?
Might have been Isaiah Thomas. There was somebody, it might have been Iverson even. I don't think. That was maybe not timed out right. I remember there was the big thing was like, we put Peyton on him. We put Pippen on him. Yeah. So similarly, Golden State has, the coaching staff has generally been good at game-to-game adjustments.
Yeah. They have not lost two in a row in the postseason.
Ever?
No,
like in
recently.
This, in this...
I can remember a time when they lost three in a row.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, not having Iguodala probably didn't help.
No, I mean, he stabilizes so much stuff for them that it was, you know, you get the Nick Young game. You have a couple of like late mistakes by Kevin Looney.
Like, I don't think Iguodala is like an incredible, like he's not a top tier player the way the other guys are. But in that fourth quarter, I'd be surprised if they ever score 12 points in a quarter when Iguodala is in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he just makes it flow. I saw an article somebody wrote about Andre Iguodala's Hall of Fame candidacy, and I was like, that's like, I think Andre Iguodala is great. I have an Andre Iguodala jersey from when he was on the Sixers. I love Andre Iguodala. I watched him destroy the Lakers in a game in like 2006 or something where he like shot a three in Kobe's face as time was expiring to win the game. And I was like, that guy's cool. That guy's cool as shit. He's not a Hall of Fame player.
He could get in if he becomes a coach and builds a resume that's like, from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Like, cause I could see him coaching too. Although I think he's probably going to go into the .com world cause he already is.
Or like,
he's already in like venture capital, which probably every Warriors player, like,
it's hard not to,
you're
to
a talk to
the people on the sideline and be like, yo, what's up?
Exactly. What's up with your companies? You're a millionaire in San Francisco and you know, you can make a phone call and get a meeting with Chris Sacca.
Yeah.
So
that's why I do this podcast, is for venture capitalists.
Yeah, we do this the Warriors sidelines.
Yeah,
like we only. That's why it's so long between recordings sometimes, because there's not.
We're just in talks with venture capitalists to talk about how to, you know, maximize our branding while creating a disruptive environment in the app space.
Uh-huh. Disrupting e-commerce.
Yeah.
Business to business synergies.
Yes. And all of my synergies are quite synergistic.
It's all data driven, by the way.
Honestly, if you make a decision not based on data, then what are you even doing?
Well, speaking of horrible data driven decisions, the Rockets offense.
Ah.
It's funny that Maury Ball versus D'Antoni 7 seconds or less turned into this.
It's like when two people have a baby and you're like, it doesn't look like either of you and it's ugly.
Like,
why did that work?
Am I wrong that the Phoenix Suns 7 seconds or less offenses were like a lot of fun to watch?
So much fun.
With Nash, Stoudemire and Sean Marion. Like, I felt like they were fun. I mean, yeah. Now I'm triggering back to like lots of fun memories of Phoenix Suns basketball in general, like Tom Chambers, Dan Majerle, Kevin Johnson and Charles Barkley.
I mean, we're going to get it now with some Luka Doncic.
A little D-book.
Here's the thing. You know what's missing from these teams? This is like a Leandro Barbosa type. Somebody who's just like a little speedy guy to make things.
A Ginobili.
Yeah. So, I mean, like,
or a little bit of chaos or something.
A little bit of chaos, right? Yeah. It's all calculated. It's all down to the point. I want somebody who's just going to run in there and muck stuff up with the bullheaded speed of an amazing hedgehog. I don't know. I'm like, that's the
trying to think of who we could get on that team to like spark it up a little bit.
Rafer Alston. You know, talk about
like
some
current day Rafer Alston.
No. I'm talking like Houston players. You know, a little bit of Kenny the Jet Smith in there. You know, if we could pick any.
Oh, no, I have the guy for you.
All right, talk to me.
Vernon Maxwell.
Ooh, yes.
I am Vernon Maxwell.
Just like insanity.
Yes.
Yeah. But like so fast.
Yeah.
And like just so dynamic. Also willing to like, you know, dribble the ball completely out of bounds. Yeah. If he's out of control.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you need a little something like that. Because it just feels like the only two players on the court on offense who have the ability to create anything for Houston are Paul and Harden, and that's it. And nobody else creates at all. It's just Tucker and Ariza and Gordon and Capella standing around waiting for their turn to do something after those guys have done something. And that's what makes it hard, is because, you know, with the 7 seconds or less Suns, it felt like anybody on the court could create something after Steve Nash. You know, if Steve Nash was sitting, they leaned into the madness and put Leander out there.
And Steve Nash had an element of chaos to him as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something, you know, it was fun. And you knew that if at any point in the game, Steve Nash could just pull up from 15 and make it.
And also he would drive to the key and sort of live in the key longer than you think possible.
Yeah, and turn it around.
Just the next time you play pickup basketball and you drive into the key, most of the time you're like, I got to get rid of it. Like, I either got to shoot it or, like, I got to pass it. Very few of us think, like, I can kind of dribble. Like, I'll keep my dribble.
Yeah.
Like, there's four guys around me.
Yeah.
I will just sort of pressure them and just sort of, like, stay here for a little bit right up to I'm about to get a 3-second call and then find some amazing outlet for it. Like,
it feels like Chris Paul could do that. It feels like James Harden has never done that in his life.
Uh-huh.
Right?
It seems... I definitely believe Chris Paul has the skills to do that.
Yeah, I mean...
He doesn't have the same... Like the, yeah, James Harden.
He doesn't do it as much as I think he used to do it more.
Yeah.
It's a thing that Steph Curry can do.
Yes.
I
would say that the Warriors have some chaos built into like all of their best players.
Yeah.
I would say Clay is probably the least of that. But like, I mean, Kevin Durant has a little bit of that like fuck you mentality.
Yeah. I don't want to call them the Hamptons 5 anymore. I want to call them the Chaos Emeralds. You know, yes. We're going for 2 Sonic the Hedgehog references on this podcast. All
right. That's right. Let's get a third. Let's get that.
How many rings?
Who's the magenta other side character?
The magenta one.
Isn't there one that's purple? That's like his sister or something like that.
Oh,
Knuckles.
Amy. No, Knuckles is red and he's an echidna.
Oh boy.
Tails Miles Prower has 2 tails and he can fly.
I've never played 1 full Sonic game.
Wow. Well, then, you know, speed's your friend, man.
But you were saying that you feel like James Harden is not sort of...
He's never going to, like, probe the defense like that. He's probing one player, and he's probing that player to either make room for him to have a layup or to have that player foul him.
I guess you sort of have to just respect the methodical nature of his game, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
There haven't been, and you've seen more of the games than me, but there haven't been that many like egregious James Harden fouls.
No. Right? And in fact, he's gotten a lot of like drives to the hoop with layups that it felt like he hasn't converted at the same rate that he has in the regular season. Uh-huh. And he's shooting like shit from the 3-point line as he has basically the second half of the season.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting to watch him play because it feels like he's not playing up to the level that he could.
Yeah.
But they're still tied 2-2. And like so much of that is like PJ Tucker and his 16 rebounds from game 4. That game was such a PJ Tucker game. Just like ugly rebounds, just like pushing people.
I would say, you know, if I was a first slot Warriors fan, I'd probably be a little bit worried, but not that worried. I could just because I still think if the thing is with the Warriors, I just want them to play the way that they play. And if they lose, fine. Like if they miss all their shots,
yeah,
but they're playing the way that they want their offense to play, then so be it. I just don't want them to lose by like moving away from that. I will say that if I was a GM for the Warriors and we're talking about how to keep this team together over the next year, I'd be concerned about Clay. I don't think he's
as in like, you don't want him on the team anymore, maybe, or...
No, just he's not an automatic re-sign max or whatever he's going to ask for.
Oh, wait, you didn't hear he's asking for way less than the max?
I did hear that he was considering, like, yeah, asking for less.
Yeah, that's an automatic sign. If he signs for something that gives you any sort of flexibility. Reasonable.
Yeah, I will say he's out of the big four, the most frustrating for me.
Yeah, I can see that.
He kind of only provides a very specific thing on offense in a way that the other players don't. And when he doesn't provide that thing, it's like, come on, man. Like,
well, people talk about how he's one of the best lockdown defenders on that team for the perimeter. And I don't think that he's anywhere near as good as Draymond is.
Oh, right? No.
Like, because Draymond is all world defense.
Yeah.
But I think that having somebody who they can rely on, who's like big and can stay in front of people and like really plays good team defense is a good, valuable thing.
So, I guess what I'm saying is if I'm the GM and he's willing to take a salary that's like a role player salary, for him,
a role player salary is like 12 to 14.
If he's willing to, but like, he's not at the same level as the other three guys, and should not be paid the same way.
Okay,
and I know that he can come out with a 30-point quarter every once in a while or whatever, but like in this playoffs, like he's had a lot of off games.
Yeah, he has.
And they'll say like, "Well, that's the one off game we have," and it's like, but then he has another one.
he's more prone to have an off game than other people, and. Yeah, I mean, that's why it's good that they have, you know, four other people.
Also, can we now put to rest the thing, like, people need to figure out how they feel about, like, is this Warriors team an unfair team that's just rolling through the playoffs? Or if this series goes to seven, can that be put to rest? Or is it still just like Kevin Durant broke the NBA
If you put that that they're a super team and they're unfair to rest... You also have to put to rest, Chris Paul's never done anything in the playoffs. James Harden's never done anything in the playoffs. Right? Those two have to go to bed together.
Do they? Why?
Because if we let
because they were significant enough to challenge.
Yes.
Well, the thing is that I don't subscribe to the Kevin Durant broke the NBA super team side, so I don't need to put that side to rest.
I mean, I feel like they're both hyperbolic takes that don't take into account what actually happens.
Right?
Both of those takes are takes that are just like, well, they're so good, we can't do anything. But they did something. They did something. They
it took depends. Them to so the second half, game. I sort of agree with you, but it kind of depends on how this goes.
Yeah.
Because Chris Paul has had a great fourth quarter last night or two nights ago, and he had a great fourth quarter against the Jazz.
Yeah.
But he's also had some bad games these playoffs.
Yeah.
And James Harden's, this game wasn't great for him really. So, you know, if PJ Tucker goes off for 24 points or whatever, I don't know. It just depends how it goes. Like if I can't help it, if Chris Paul adds two more bad fourth quarter turnovers to his resume, I'm not putting that one to rest.
Yeah, you're not putting it to rest, and you're going to vote against him in the Hall of Fame forever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. but again, I will say that Chris Paul, a lot of the things outside of like the stats for a lot of these players is what annoys me. And I just hate everything about his demeanor.
Yeah.
And like, all that, and like there's probably nothing to ever be done by that, but on top of that, a lot of that like is only justified if you then are a fucking killer when it comes to the clutch, and sometimes he is and sometimes he's not.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just like, I want the reputation to be appropriate to the actual performance.
Yeah.
Because even in games they've won these playoffs, he has moments at the end of the games. It's like, what are you doing, dude? Oh, yeah. Like, you just dribbling that ball out of bounds? You're not Vernon Maxwell. You can't do that.
No, we wouldn't ever put them in the same sentence.
Yeah. You're not world be free. So who do you think is going to win this Warriors game?
I think tonight the Warriors are going to win. I think that they're going to come out because I don't see them losing two games in a row. That's just not on the docket for me.
I think that... I think you talked in a previous episode about the Rockets being high variance.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors are less, like, they're not as much a high variance team as the Rockets. So yeah. I would say over a 3-game series, which is what we have now, I still think the Warriors are probably going to win. I also think it still kind of works against the Rockets that they have two games at home to defend. Because I don't think that the Warriors care that much about that.
I don't think it works against them, but I'm not going to say it's like a huge positive. I don't think that their home court advantage is amazing, but I
think like tonight,
don't think it's a disadvantage.
No, I don't think it's
I don't think it works against them.
Here's how it might work against them tonight. Okay. Is that if this game was in San Francisco or Oakland or wherever the thing is, then for example, if the Warriors lose tonight, you can just sort of say that the Rockets held their serve. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the same way that we're sort of saying that about the Cavaliers.
Yeah.
So if they, this is, I still think it's a higher pressure game for the Rockets because of the home court, because if they lose, they have to go win again on the road in Oracle. And even that game where a lot of things like skewed their way in terms of the flow of that game.
Yeah.
They still only won by 3 points. Like, yeah, they it was like still
that,
Steph.
That game almost went overtime.
That was a pretty wide open shot.
Very wide open.
And he, if Steph had watched,
get it out of his hands.
If he had watched his own masterclass video, I think he would have said not to rush that shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's tough not to rush a shot with 0.4 seconds.
It's amazing that you can catch the ball, turn around, and shoot in 0.5.
Ridiculous.
But I would have probably said, you know what? We probably have an extra 0.2 because we're at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think about the way those timekeepers are like, no, my fingers. So,
my fingies.
Even though these playoffs are not going the way I wanted, which was I wanted the Rockets and the Cavs to get swept. I will say that it is fun to have two real series going on.
Yeah. These are real series. I wish they were real series that were close competitive games.
Well, I also wish, you know, you're saying that they're sort of alternating quarters. So the East series is just ugly in a lot of ways. But in the West, we still haven't really seen both teams score 30 points in one quarter.
Yeah.
And these are arguably the two highest powered offenses in the league, except for theoretically late season Cavs.
Were. Yeah, yeah.
But like, I wouldn't mind a shootout.
Like, no, that'd be great. Like a 125 to 122 crazy game where everything's going in and you're just like, how are they making all of these shots? Yeah. I would love to see something like
that. And I will argue that in old playoff series, there are more series like that.
Yeah.
When you watch, you know, NBA Legends games, there are more games where it's like, listen to those dogs. This is how I want them to come out tonight.
Yeah.
With that fierceness.
With the fierceness.
I will say, my last observation that I want you guys, because I probably watch more press conferences than you do.
Okay, yeah.
We have to stop this. Journalists in the NBA.
Talk about your
NBA writers, pundits, the whole pundit world, which I think is highly overrated, is more overrated than Chris Paul.
Uh-huh.
You have to stop the multi-part questions.
Oh.
This is the most annoying thing in NBA press conferences,
okay,
which is like, hey, Tim Kawakami from The Athletic, can you tell me, what was it like? Were you guys tired in that fourth quarter? And also, Steph, for you, how does it feel to... And like, the second half has nothing to do with the first half.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is my shot. I got to ask two questions. And also, it's like, I'm building an article about X. I've got to get some quotes so that I can finish my article about X, as opposed to like asking the athletes, like, what was that game like? Then I'll write a story based on that. But every single person asks a two-part question where the two parts have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, towards the end of the season, when you don't have the, locker room scrums that are just in there and they have actual fucking press conferences.
Yeah.
You got to wait in line and you can't really ask them the same kind of questions you would ask them during the season.
But I mean, Tim Kawakami always gets the last question.
I mean, he's been around. I mean, yeah.
And he's a Golden State writer.
Yeah.
But that is just, when you guys watch, go to House of Highlights on YouTube, watch the press conferences. Every single question is like that.
Okay.
And it bugs the shit out of me.
So, do you think that instead they should everybody ask one question and everybody else asks one question?
Yeah. Well, I also think that it dilutes the power of certain questions. So like there was a question, like just ask LeBron, like, hey, why are you turning the ball over so much in this series?
Yeah.
Leave it at that. Don't go like, hey, LeBron, seems like you're averaging more turnovers this series than last time. Is that like due to fatigue? And also, can you tell us what it's like to work with the girls and boys clubs in Akron or whatever? Like,
yeah,
you know, a lot of times, like, I want the interviewer to just like put a question mark on their question and just let it hang there.
LeBron, it feels like you're really tired out there. In the fourth quarter, you were, you know, really heaving up and down the court with your breath. And I also want to know how excited are you about your new development deal with Channing Tatum's development company?
Does he have that?
Yes.
I think we got to end on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
What on earth?
You got any shows you want to plug? Any more?
Well, I'm back in LA.
Hey.
So tonight, Magic to Do every Magic Thursday at UCB Sunset. And I'll be at Baby Wants Candy on Friday.
Ooh, hell yeah.
I'm going to go see School of Rock this weekend. Very I'm not nice. In it. I'll be in the audience.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're going to go to?
I'm going to my first home Sparks game of the season. Don't you worry. I'll have some hot Sparks takes when we record our next episode.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Are you getting any swag?
I am not getting any swag. I don't believe
they're not handing out
this
any
game has any swag. I'll let you know. The greatest secret in Staples Center history
was convincing people that it didn't exist.
No.
the greatest thing the Staples Center has ever
is
done.
That you can get box seats to Sparks games for $10 a ticket.
What does that mean? Box seats?
Box seats.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to like 5 Sparks games last year, and I'm going to try to go to every Sparks home game.
How much is courtside?
I don't know how much courtside is. I did not check. Box was good enough for me.
Let's talk about, for just one second, I'm going to give you a little quiz.
Okay.
I'm trying to find...
I love taking quizzes.
Shout out
to Sporkle.
Sporkle?
Yeah, dude. I've been re-sporkling recently, and it's been nice to get in there and just know that I'm smart, you know, for knowing a bunch of stuff. Actually, I went to a Geeks Who Drink trivia night.
Oh, yes, Geeks Who Drink.
Well, the branding on that is real rough. I don't know. It feels like, yeah, okay, we're geeks who drink. And like, there's something good to be said about like reclaiming, like being a geek, but also like, you know, it could just be trivia night.
Right. As someone who's kind of is a geek, it's a little in your face to me be like, I don't want to be that thing.
Yeah.
Also strong trivia night culture in LA. So like, yes. You could just be trivia night. Yeah, it'd be fine.
And like, yes, I get it that they're branding something to go over the country with, and that's good to have a brand.
Right.
Our name was Professor Fuck, which I thought was pretty good. And we won the sports related like shot trivia for the night.
What was the question?
The question was the San Francisco 49ers have retired 12 numbers. What is the average or what is the total of those numbers?
Whoa.
And we guessed, what's the average football number? It's 50. So we did 50 times 12 is 600. And then we like rounded down a little bit
for quarterbacks
and running backs.
So you guessed
we guessed 475 and the answer was like 575. And the next closest team guessed 700.
Idiots.
Geeks who drink, man.
Tell me, in 2 games so far in the Spark season,
yeah,
who do you think is averaging the most points?
Ogwumike?
It is Nneka Ogwumike.
Yeah. Yeah, she's the star because Candace Parker isn't with the team yet.
Who is averaging the most rebounds per game?
I don't know. I'd guess Ogwumike again.
It is Nneka Ogwumike.
Yeah, she's a star.
Averaging 22 and 9.5 rebounds per game. Now, she is averaging 2.5 assists per game.
Yeah.
Who do you think is leading the team in assists? And also leading the team in steals.
Yeah.
This is a little... she must be a fast player.
It's the... they just signed somebody really good. I can't remember who it is.
Much easier name to pronounce. Originally played at Duke.
Yeah.
She is 5'11".
I can't remember.
It is Chelsea Gray.
Chelsea Gray. Yeah. Cool.
Averaging 8 assists per game.
Yeah. Yeah. She's
and
their point
3.5 steals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the first game of the season, they went to, they did the thing where they brought the two teams in the finals and had them play. They played in Minnesota and beat Minnesota on a last second shot. And it was awesome.
Ooh, that's a fun idea.
Yeah. Oh, man.
game 8 of the previous finals, or however many.
Game five was the...
did they sweep last year?
No, it went 5, because the finals are best of 5.
What?
Yeah, yes.
I did hear recently the WNBA is like sort of concerned that they're not appealing enough to specifically young women.
Oh.
And they're trying to like do some things to increase that. So maybe this year we're going to see different marketing.
Yeah.
But you know who they got in their pocket? Adult men like Casey Lawrence.
Hey,
and that sounded creepier than I wanted it to sound.
It's basketball. I love it. It's great. And it's a great way to see good basketball for on a budget.
Like, come to LA, sit in a box with Casey.
Hell yeah. I got 3 tickets left.
Cool. So we'll see you next time. We'll probably check in Saturday or Monday or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what? We got to hear about the Sparks game.
Yeah. So Monday.
Yeah.
We'll check in on Monday.
Cool, man.
All right. Hey.
See you next time.
Yeah.